It would certainly be unkind of me to fail to express my sincere appreciation and gratitude for the opportunity of once again being with you in this fine congregation. And especially am I honored to be with you on this homecoming day and to have the privilege and the honor of participating in this gospel meeting. We have just returned from Iowa. It's a long way to Iowa, especially when you're riding a bus, and we took a bus, a load of folks up there to Iowa, and took us about 12 to 14 hours to drive up and about that much time to return. Little church up there, I suppose they have 20 or so that meet on Sunday morning, maybe on a good Sunday, 40. May be somewhat discouraging for them. But we have had a marvelous day, a marvelous week up there. Two precious souls obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One who was a former altar boy, the biggest guy I had ever baptized, weighed 330-something pounds. I thought I wasn't going to raise him up, but I was able to raise him up. The other man was a highly successful businessman, a multimillionaire, no doubt, who obeyed the gospel. And I do not believe the gospel has lost its power. And I hope that we will remember that and treasure that. And I hope that you will encourage others to come and be with us in this series of gospel meetings. Following our lunch today, we plan to speak on the subject of forgiveness. If you have to miss any service, don't let it be that lesson on forgiveness. Just make your plans to come and to be present and to listen to that sermon on forgiveness. And then on Monday night, we plan to speak a very elementary, fundamental lesson, but a lesson that certainly we need today, a lesson on saving faith. And I hope that you'll be a part of that Monday night service, as well as all of the services of the gospel meeting. I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. I remember when we started having Bible classes. During the spring and the summer months and in the early fall, they would take those of us that were younger, and they would put us outside on some old blocks or benches that they had made, maybe often under a shade tree. And in the winter months, they put a sheet up separating the adult class from the children's class. Now, I remember back in those days, we had a card. I was a member of what was called the card class. I was a card-carrying member, I guess you would say. But I was a member of that card class. And one of the cards that I remember was a card of a young man by the name of David. And there was a great big old giant right there in the presence of David. Do you remember the first time you ever heard about David and about the giant Goliath? Well, I hope today that we might be able to think a little bit about some great lessons as we face the giants of our lives. All of us have giants in our life. There's not a person here today that doesn't have a giant. Sometimes we're not really aware that they are around us, but they are always there. And I remember this verse of Scripture. I marvel and thrill every time I even read it today. From 1 Samuel chapter 17. David said to that Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. There are always giants that we are facing, and every church has giants that we face. And we're living in a time today when things are taking place in the church of my Lord that I never dreamed would be possible just a few years ago. In the name of trying to attract visitors and friends into services, in an effort to try to shape and mold our own culture, accepting it into the religious aspects of our life, many of us are making some changes in our life that really we should not be making. May I remind you today that the gospel has not lost its power. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, to the wise and to the unwise. And as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to those of you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. David faced a giant in his day. David had traveled some 15 miles from where he lived. He had been instructed by his father Jesse to take some food over to three brothers that were involved in the warfare. There were eight children in the family of Jesse, eight sons. And three of them were old enough to be involved in the war. And so this concerned father wanted to look after them. And he sent food over. He sent 10 loaves of bread. In addition, he sent 10 some kinds of containers of cheese in order that the leaders of thousands might also enjoy some of the things that he was presenting to them. And so David took that. And when David arrived on that scene, there was dismay in the heart of David because there was a giant by the name of Goliath, and he was parading himself and arrogantly challenging anyone to accept his challenge. Beloved, there are giants in our life, as we've indicated. Sometimes they are mental in nature. Sometimes they are physical. Sometimes they are emotional giants. And sometimes there are spiritual giants in our life. There are times in our life when we struggle. And here was David's situation. Here was a giant whose armor weighed 125 pounds. He probably wore a collar that was about 20 inches. He was an individual that perhaps wore a belt of more than 50 inches. And he was a man that bellowed out challenges against David. There were 330,000 soldiers in Israel's army. And they could hear this man as he issued those challenges. And day in and day out, for 40 days, he stood there in the valley. The Philistine army on one side, the Israelite army on the other side. And he issued out these challenges. They are giants that test our faith. James chapter 1, James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. It's hard to obey that, isn't it? We want things to go along pretty well in our life. We want smooth sailing. We do not want there to be any conflict. But he said, I want you to count it all joy, not just a little bit of joy, but count it all joy when there are various trials that come into your life. And he explains the reason why. He says that knowing the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And so it's not the easy times in our life when we're able to pay the bills on time, when we're making A's in school. It is not those times that we're really growing in God. It is not the time when things are smooth and when there is no effort required on our part, but it is these more difficult times that we actually grow closer to God. Too much ease requires absolutely no faith at all. And unbelief blinds us to the greatness of God and to the majesty of God and to the weaknesses of our own life. What was wrong with Saul was that Saul did not count on God. He did not see any need for God. And what was right with David was that David saw the need of God and saw the essentiality of depending upon God. What are some giants that are in your life? Your Goliath may not have a sword. He may not have a shield. But in all probability, you have some giants. There are bills, perhaps, that you cannot pay. And you're struggling with those. We've had quite a number of men and women in the congregation there who have lost their jobs in more recent months. And they're struggling with bills and they wonder how they're going to survive. It is a great big giant in their life. There are grades that some cannot make. Try as hard as you may, you find difficulty in making those grades. There are people that you cannot please that constitute giants in your life. There's pornography that you cannot refuse. Three members of the congregation got on the internet at Roebuck Parkway during the last 10 or 15 years, and they left their mates. One dear lady left her husband and three teenage boys. He had a highly successful job, foreman of the plant where he worked, and she went after a fellow that was an ex-convict without any job, without any income at all, and she met him on the internet. Beloved, it can be a giant in some of our lives. Are you looking and seeing what you should be looking at? Or has this giant almost captured your attention and defeated you? Now, there are futures that sometimes we cannot face, or perhaps a past that we cannot shed. But I suggest to you that at times like this, we need to reflect upon the great story of David. There are giants in the church, as I've already indicated. Sometimes congregations are few in number. Sometimes there are those that are small. May I challenge this church to go out and seek those that are hurting and find people that are lonely. There are people that this church can reach that if this church does not reach them, they will spend eternity away from God. There are friends of yours that you're the only lifeline that they have between going to heaven and going to hell. And it is my fervent plea today that you may realize the power of the giants in our lives and that you may turn to God. There are certain attitudes that hamper our going into the promised land. In Numbers chapter 13, we read of Joshua who said, "Let us go at once, for we are able." We always have those within the church that have that kind of faith. You know, when you start a building program, there are always naysayers. When you launch out on some new endeavor to reach a community for Christ, there are always those that say it cannot work, it will not function as it should. May I suggest to you, my beloved friends, let us be like old Caleb. Let's get on with this business of serving God. Let us go at once. For with the help of God, we are well able. I don't know the challenges of your life, but may you have the attitude of old Caleb. I don't know what your situation may be, what problems you may be having with your children, with your neighbor, or with your friend, but let us have the right attitude about these things and let us go at once, because with the help of God, indeed we're able. Well, sometimes our influence can make a difference, Katie. And yet it did not do so in this particular arena. For there were 10 spies that came back and says there are giants that live in that land. And we're like grasshoppers before them. They have fortified cities. We will not be able to be victorious. The problem was that these 10 men were not walking by faith. They had come out of the Egyptian bondage. They had seen the power of God as they were delivered from the Red Sea. They would eat the manna that fell from heaven. And yet they doubted the power of God. Don't leave God out of your life. Don't try to walk through the lives and the trials of your life all by yourself. Let us not be like these of ancient times who had forgotten God. Do you see God in your struggles? Israel did not see God. David was different. He saw God. The Israelites saw themselves as grasshoppers. Do you see yourself as a little grasshopper? Or do you see the power and the greatness of God? Listen to David in Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my refuge. Of whom shall I be afraid? The question is not, how big is our problem? That's not the question. The question is not, how big am I? That's not our question. The question before us today is, how big is the God that you serve and that I serve? And the question that we ask this morning is, do we see the hand of God when we are facing the Goliath of our life? You know, in that ancient land, David saw that giant, but his focus was upon God. 1 Samuel 17 says, who is this unclean Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And so Saul, of course, he was not man enough to stand up against this giant. Though he stood head and shoulders above others, he had left God completely out. And if you read that text carefully, you will find no mention of God in the statement of the king of Israel, King Saul. The armies of Israel had left God completely out of the picture. David's three older brothers had left God completely out of the picture. But listen to 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 34. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. A lion and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock. I went after it and I struck it and I delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Do we see the giants in our lives? Do we see the problems of our life? Or do we see God in our lives? All of the others had majored in Goliath, but David majored in God. Verse 45, David said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to thee in the name of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. It is time for God to have a prominent place in the problems that we encounter. It is time for us to rely upon God and to face God and face the help of God. The Apostle Paul, in writing so many of his epistles, mentions the fact that there were insurmountable problems all around, that he was constantly being threatened, that he had been tortured, that he had been abused, that he had been beaten, and yet he never took his eyes off of God. In Philippians 4 and verse 13, this was the attitude of Paul. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What is your situation in life? What kind of a problem are you encountering? Is it a problem with some personal sin of your life? You know, with God's help, that sin can be dispelled and you can be victorious. Are you aware of the fact that Jesus said, cast all of your cares upon me, for I care for you? Do you know that there is no problem that is too small or too great to escape the need that we have to turn to God about that problem? We are all facing Goliaths in our life. And our plea this morning is that we will have the faith and the courage and the attitude of this young boy, David, to be victorious. There may be someone here today that's not a simple New Testament Christian. If you believe in the Lord with all of your heart, and belief simply means to trust in Jesus, and are willing to repent of your sins, repentance is an about face. Instead of going away from God, to turn toward God, are you willing today to acknowledge that you believe Jesus to be the Son of God? And are you willing today to be buried with your Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins? Sometimes we have to almost go that road alone. I'm sad to tell you today that those two men that were baptized last week up in Iowa, neither one of their wives are New Testament Christians. They had to make that decision, step out by faith and trust in God for His help. They had no family members that were members of the Lord's church. Mothers and fathers and grandparents, no background of encouragement, whatever. But these young men, actually they were middle-aged men, took that stand that they're going to live for God. You'll not be discouraged if that's your stand. And how thrilling it is to hear them make that noble confession that they believe Jesus to be the Son of God, and to be immersed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Did you take communion today as a member of the family of God? Have you been worshiping God on a regular basis? Have you been victorious in the giant Goliaths of your life? It's not too late. And we urge you to come to Him. Will you come now as together we stand and sing?